Happy Mother's Day, everybody. Happy Mother's Day. And as usual, I intend that by the time of that we complete today, that you will all realize that it's appropriate that everybody here celebrates the divine feminine within them, celebrates the divine masculine within them, finds that each one of us is here to nurture and to love and to bring forth all of the qualities of God that express in human form. Today is about the joy of co-creation. And indeed, we must honor the divine feminine within us as well as the divine masculine in order to have what the ancient Greeks called, here we go, the hieros gamos, the sacred wedding, the mystical marriage within us. And we know that, you know, we look at the world, and doesn't it seem as though the energies are a little out of balance? You know, we look back over the centuries at some of the cultures that we hardly know anything about anymore, that really had more feminine energy in the leadership, and more peace? I think that it's time for us to realize that these feelings, these energies, these realities within us all must emerge in a more balanced way. So that individually we experience this sense of being strong and making good decisions and being nurturing and letting those decisions grow and become something wonderful in the world. Because everything begins with a divine idea. Everything begins with a creative intention. And then everything is received by the womb of nature. We know that infinite mind, infinite heart, God everywhere present, expresses in two different ways, the conscious and the subconscious, the objective and the subjective. Spirit, that which says, let it be, let it be. Let there be waters, and let there be dry lands, and let there be. And something takes place in the soul nature, in the womb of nature, and something is born. Because there is a divine substance everywhere present from which everything is created. And we require both that will, the divine intention, and the receptivity and the nurture that brings it all into being. It's a wonderful thing to realize that this is Spiritual Living Through Creativity Month. Spiritual Living Through Creativity. I love that because we are co-creators with the infinite mind of God. And that's a wonderful, wonderful place to be. We've been given this ability. From childhood, I wanted to be a mother, as I told the children who weren't yet here this morning. And I did that, and I got several t-shirts. And then I figured out many other ways to be creative. Isn't that great? We're always expanding our awareness of what we really are capable of doing. I remember the joy of each one of those three pregnancies. You know, I'm such a multitasker, and I like being very efficient, that one of the things I love the most about carrying the children was that I could be doing other things, and at the same time, a life was growing in me. You know, and I feel sort of lazy sometimes, you know, like I don't have to do anything about this. It's just happening. And you see, that's the way our creative nature is. When we plant a healthy seed in the infinite mind and the womb of nature accepts that seed, something grows and there's nothing that we need to do about it at that time except to love and nurture and keep the confidence. We just keep the faith, babies, is what we do. See, as Ernest Holmes said, it is a beautiful and true thought to realize that everyone stands in the shadow of a mighty mind, a pure intelligence, and a divine givingness. This divine givingness must express in, through, and as each one of us. Reverend Mike was asking me to remind him this morning, excuse me, you come here often, that you never know who you're going to run into. He asked me to remind him about Karen. It was a famous psychiatrist, Karen Horney, who said of all the neurotic needs that she had run across, and neuroses was her specialty. Imagine, I think I'd rather study frogs. In any case, she said of all of those neurotic needs that we seem to develop, there are three real needs. And Reverend Mike asked me to remind him what they were, because he's apparently going to be sharing those with the kids today. If you give me that phone, I will make sure we turn it on and everyone can listen to our celebration today. Come on. Okay, then. So the three real needs. One is to love and to be loved. Simple, basic. Now, I know we go through Maslow's hierarchy of needs and we take care of all the physical and all that, but this is the real needs that go far beyond all the biological ones. To love and to be loved. Do you agree that's a basic need? Absolutely. The second one is to feel worthwhile to yourself and at least one other person, right? We need to feel valued. And it usually starts with recognizing how valuable we are. That sometimes takes some doing if a person has not learned that over his or her life. To feel worthwhile to yourself and at least one other person. Yeah? What's the third one? To be creative. It's essential to be creative. Whether you're painting or baking or dancing or bringing hope to somebody who feels lost. Those are all creative activities. And we are co-creators with the infinite. And as we balance our energies, as we come to realize that we are individualized expressions of God's life, and that we replicate the qualities of God and the nature of God within our own individualized expressions of life, then this co-creative experience becomes delightful. There's an intelligent process, creative process, that is at work everywhere at all times. And through the instrumentation of each of us, we are creating. Sometimes what we're creating isn't so pretty. Whether it's we ourselves who went, oops, I didn't really mean to set that into motion, and we get to reverse it and make a difference and go in another direction, or whether it's something that others have brought into the world without our consent. And there's a lot of that in the world right now. You see, there are not two powers. Let's remember there's one power. It's God's power. There is nothing to defy that power. Well, then how did the evil get into the world? How did all of these things take place out there in the world? And how did God let that happen? Anybody ever wonder that? Why do bad things happen to good people? Rabbi Lerner wrote a wonderful book. God didn't have anything to do with that. Well, if God is all-loving and all-powerful, what is it? Is it God is all-loving and just kind of picks us up when we get knocked down? Or is God all-powerful, can jump in and change that situation and stop the wars? Which is it? Or is it either one? We don't have an anthropomorphic God here. God has been created in man's image and likeness. It got kind of flipped around, didn't it? And somehow there was this big man in the sky that got created. We don't have that here. I hope you're not disappointed. It's a divine, loving, creative, wise, intelligent, wonderful energy. It is the presence of the divine that creates out of itself all things. And not wanting to create little automatons gave us what? Free will. Exactly. So we have the opportunity to learn how to use this creative, intelligent activity in not only a creative way, but an intelligent way. Dr. Raymond Charles Barker, whose books are wonderful, starts his book about the power of decision. How many of you have read that? Taken classes? Yeah. Something, he says something like, it's amazing how many people use this intelligent law so unintelligently. That's how these things show up in the world. We get to do it differently. We get to plant some new seeds in the fertile soil of creative mind. And isn't it wonderful? It's one of our three basic needs to be creative. So let's look at what we're creating and be more conscious about it. Be more loving. Be more confident and a sense of power. We cannot allow ourselves to feel run over by things that are going out there in the world. We can't. Or we'll sink into it, and then the blind leading the blind, they both fall in the ditch, and I'm not going to show you how that works. But you can imagine. We are the ones, you've heard it, that we've been waiting for. When last Sunday night, Reverend Mike and I participated in the Interfaith Peace for and Justice prayer service at the Mennonite Church in Fraser. I finally learned how to say Fraser instead of Fraser. There is no I in Fraser. See, it takes me 2+ years, and I do learn. And it was a wonderful celebration. Pastor Brenda and her husband just made it such a gracious, welcoming place, and some of our people went as well. Reverend Mike and I got to share from our tradition. We had the Jews, the Muslims, Christians, and it felt so wonderful. And Pastor Brenda had emailed all of us in the mainline ministerium a couple of weeks before that and said, what do you want to do? Do you want to say a prayer? Do you want to do a reading from your tradition? Bring any musicians? Well, we wound up bringing Jeff and Emily because I suggested to her that we might sing. She says, what about a closing song? The sending song, they call it. That's sweet, huh? It's not the closing song. It's the sending song. She said, well, what about a sending song? I said, well, what about the peace song? Let there be peace on earth. And let it begin with me. Okay, me. All of us, okay? And she said, oh, that's a good idea. I don't know if anybody knows it. I said, well, I know people who do. So Jeff and Emily came up and led it a cappella. And the whole evening was a wonderful celebration. And as I said to her and to Rabbi Michelle Perlman afterwards, I said, this is, and we all brought food and we feasted together too. That's a really good way to break down the barriers, isn't it? Let's all eat together. And then to find out, you know, the Jews and the Arabs, their food is very similar. And I like those kinds of feasts. So I said afterwards, I said, you know, this, what we have done here tonight is a microcosm. We've created a microcosm of what the macrocosm of the world can be. And so every time we have an opportunity to co-create such a wonderful experience, we're setting a new law into, it's the same law, but we're setting a new emphasis into motion, and we must ultimately reap a new and better experience. So we must, you know, we haven't said this for a while, but remember from the Hebrew Bible, what we were chanting about for a while there a few months ago? You know, Jeremiah is up on the... Not Jeremiah. Nehemiah, because Jeremiah was a bullfrog, right? Sorry.
Sorry.
Nehemiah was standing up there and, you know, rebuilding the city. And the spies came and tried to make him come down because they wanted to do harm to him. And he knew that. So he just stood up there and say it with me if you remember what he said. He said, "I am doing a mighty work and I will not come down." That's what we get to do today, every day, to do the mighty work in our consciousness. We realize that it is an evolution of consciousness. We've seen it happen over the centuries. You read a little bit of history and you realize, even though you think, well, nothing's any better than it was, oh, yes, it is. Because people are awakening. People are beginning to realize that we have more personal power than we used to know, because it's not just mine by myself. It's the presence of the divine within me. It is the infinite intelligence and the divine love within me, that co-creative power that allows me to make a positive difference in the world. Yes?
Yes.
And this is what we're here to do. Yes, please?
Yes.
Yes, please. And it thrills me to know that we are doing it. It's not just that we can and that we should and that we're going to think about it and we're going to talk about it. We'll have some classes about it and we'll sing about it and then maybe we'll ask someone else to do it. Or no, let there be peace on earth. Let it begin with me. And that's what the reading that Mike and I shared from Ernest Holmes on Sunday night was really all about, our personal responsibility and ability to clear our own consciences, to bring peace here, to see the justice in the world within ourselves, and to bring that out into the world rather than expecting somebody else to make it better for us. We've grown up a lot since the time that we thought somebody else was supposed to take care of these things. So it's a shift in our inner consciousness. So we're creative. And whether we're writing a poem or making up a new recipe or painting the dog's toenails. Have you never done that? I wouldn't do that to my own dog, but I once painted the toenails of somebody's French poodle. He wasn't real pleased. I digress. But we're always creating something wonderful. And we can make it be more wonderful by our conscious intention to do so. There is an innate divine urge, an innate divine urge within all of us that must be brought forth into full conscious creativity. And Ernest said this. He said, "There is a divine urge within, ever pushing us forward to the goal." Well, what's the goal? Well, it might be different every day. The main goal is to awaken humanity to its spiritual magnificence. It's about time, maybe beyond time, that people stopped putting themselves down and saying, "Well, I just can't do that. Oh, me, you can't expect." We want to help ourselves and everybody else awaken to their spiritual magnificence. Now, that's as co-creative as we're going to get. And I'm excited about it because we do it every day. And you can do it without a word. I have a license to preach, but I try not to. But wouldn't it be kind of fun to just, you know, be on every street corner in Philly and the main line and everywhere else and speaking the good word? We're not going to do that, okay? What we are going to do is to bring our shiny consciousness to every place we enter. We're going to bring our sense of love and compassion and embracing all others, inclusiveness, the joy of seeing how we are all, underneath it all, the same divine expressions of the one life. We're going to just bring that into our families. We're going to bring it into our workplaces and our neighborhoods and everywhere we go. And sometimes, without a word, without a word. It's the consciousness. There's divine energy that we share with each other. Last night, Reverend Mike and I went to a wonderful happening. It was a drumming circle plus. It was an amazing thing where this man has a house with toys hanging everywhere. All kinds of drums and rattles and didgeridoos. And he just invites you in and says, "Just go play." So we went, and it's a wonderful feeling to just start playing, even if you don't know what you're doing, and you can keep a beat. That's pretty important. And the next thing you know, you're in harmony with all the other people there. And then there's even vocals coming out, and you're in harmony with that. And you never met these people in your life before. And all one. You touch a place eventually where there is such a sense of a giant embrace that you start delighting in the differences rather than even caring about them, just loving them and appreciating them. And that was another little microcosm. And I thought, wow, wherever we are, we can create, co-create this sense of oneness, this sense of we are all here together and we're going to lift each other in spirit. So this creative medium, the soul of the universe, the feminine energy, the universal feminine, the Holy Mother, well, it's represented in all nature and it resides within each of us. I mean, think back over the centuries. The Shakti, the divine feminine, that's empowerment. Gaia, the Greek ancestral mother of all life. Demeter, another Greek goddess. And this one, remember the story of Demeter and Persephone, where Persephone is snatched away from her, and she's taken down into Hades. And Hades is the brother of Zeus, and they had it all planned. Didn't tell Demeter about it, didn't even ask if Persephone could be the bride of Hades. Now, it's not, you know, it's a fairly respectable position, being the queen in Hades. You get to rule over all the dark things. But Demeter was the goddess of agriculture. She was responsible for the wheat growing, and she got a little annoyed when she found out what had happened. More than a little annoyed, because she had been seeking her daughter Persephone all over the world. Then when she found out what happened, she said, okay, guys, I can play your game. And she withheld the food from the world. It stopped growing. Okay, sis, we can take care of this. And they worked it out so that Persephone could come up again and be with her mother in the upper world during certain seasons, and then join her husband down in the darker places. And yeah, like I said, it was a fine job. It was a good job. It was a good place. That's where we get spring. Persephone has returned to the earth right now. And Demeter is so happy about that. You know, I can relate to that. I had the joy of officiating at my daughter's wedding to her husband when we were all still in California, and that was in 1982. And then a year later, they moved to Florida. I felt very Demeter-like. I was sure year after year that they'd finally come back. Well, they didn't. And I'm fine with it now. And I get to see her. And we're on the East Coast. We're on the same coast now. So this is good. This feminine goddess energy that you have too, by the way. How do you like that? You look secure enough to hear that. Mary, the mother of Jesus, similar stories. Son taken away, returned, everlasting life. You see, both the masculine and the feminine energies are, and activities are required for healthy co-creation. This is why we enter into the joy, the great joy of co-creation, when we realize that we must balance those energies within us. We must balance those energies in our society as well. And as we balance them within us, and as we are more fruitful in our own divine manifestations of utilizing this law for good and bringing a greater picture of possibility into our lives and into the world, then we're going to find that it will catch on as we develop ourselves and our society and our world. It is in need of the reemergence, I believe, of the divine feminine energy to combine with the divine masculine energy. It's all God. It's just the different ways that God manifests. Saint Yo-Yo Ma. And what a blessed being he is. I have seen him several times. And it's like going to church even better. He says, passion is one great force that unleashes creativity. We want to get passionate about what we're creating. Because if you're passionate about something, then you're more willing to take risks. We have to take risks to be creative. It's like, well, but that's never been done before. All the more reason for it to be done now, and all the more reason for you to do it. Who did I just point to? If the finger fits. I take risks. I point the finger at myself all the time. I have a lot of passion for life. I have a lot of passion for this teaching. I have a lot of passion for this beloved community. And everything that we work together to co-create, whether it's on the board or whether it's on in our care groups or any of the other activities, wonderful activities that we do here, it comes about because we are passionate enough to bring the highest and the best possible to every creative endeavor that we enter into, individually and together, and that we know we're not doing it by ourselves. That there is a divine, creative, intelligent, loving, wonderful activity moving in through and as each of us that allows this to take place. Bill Moyers, remember him? He said, creativity is piercing the mundane in order to find the marvelous. Are you ready to do that? No more meatloafian life. Let's pierce the mundane and find the marvelous. Let's all work together to honor the sacred feminine within ourselves and within each other. Let's affect that hieros gamos and bring it into our world. Let's enjoy being the nurturers of every beautiful idea that's given to us that we're ready to birth. Let's give thanks for our ability to become clearer, to become more receptive, and to become greatly enhanced instruments. We are the instruments of this divine expression of the life force. Let's continue joyfully creating and co-creating happy, successful lives for ourselves, for our loved ones, and please, for the world. Let's let this microcosm grow and express itself into the macrocosm of the world that we have been given to play in, to heal, to learn from, to teach, to celebrate our divinity. So will you say with me, I am nourished by the indwelling presence of creative love. I am nourished by the indwelling presence of creative love. I delight in nurturing each divine idea. I delight in nurturing each divine idea. Life expresses artistically through me. Life expresses artistically through me. And so, my beloveds, beginneth our lesson. Thank you for listening to our podcast. We love having such a special means of connecting with you and trust you have enjoyed this message. If you have benefited from and been uplifted by these ideas and would like to learn more about our spiritual community, please go to our website at cslphilly.com. And if you wish to express your gratitude, simply click on the donate button to experience the joy of conscious giving. Your generous support makes it possible to share these messages of inspiration with all the world. Please share this message with anyone you feel might benefit and encourage them to subscribe to our podcast by searching GPCSL on your favorite podcasting application. Again, thank you for joining me and the Greater Philadelphia Center for Spiritual Living Community as together we create a world that works for all.